Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Brash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
This show is a bonus. It's just an extra in case you'd like something to listen to. It was the audio of a video chat that I just put on YouTube, but I'll include that link in the description box in case you would rather watch the video. But it's video of the Unholy Trinity, which is kind of the tongue-in-cheek title we gave to a tour we did last year with myself, Aaron Raw, and Matt Dillahunty. And then we've also got Andrew Skegg of the Atheist Foundation of Australia, and Adam Reeks from the Herd Mentality podcast, which originates in Australia. They've been instrumental in helping us organize and promote this amazing opportunity we have to take the Unholy Trinity tour to Australia. Now, we talked about a lot more than just the events themselves, you know, the formal information, time and venue and ticket and all that stuff. Here's the website. That stuff is certainly part of the conversation, but we just chatted like friends, you know, we just chatted about whatever happened to come up, and it was a fun half hour, and I thought it would be fun for you to listen to if you were sort of looking for a distraction. So for your approval, I present a conversation, runs about a half an hour. It does feature Andrew Skegg of the Atheist Foundation of Australia, Adam Reeks, the Herd Mentality podcast, and myself, Aaron Raw, and Matt Dillahunty, the Unholy Trinity, as we prepare to go to Australia in March of 2015. The Unholy Trinity Down Under is fast approaching. It's coming up here. It starts on the 12th of March. And it's three cities in Australia. And then the other guys, Matt and Aaron, are actually going to New Zealand doing some other stops. Joining us here on this podcast, broadcast, whatever, I've got Andrew Skegg from the AFA. And I've got Adam Reeks from the Herd Mentality podcast. And these guys have been instrumental in getting the Unholy Trinity tour down under. Thank you guys for everything you've done. It's amazing.
Our pleasure.
So what are we doing? I mean, outside of getting on a plane and going to a strange new world, what exactly is the tour about? What do you guys have planned for us, you know, American Midwesterners? What's going on?
It was a pretty straightforward process, really. Matt got in touch with me, hassled me, sent me flowers, basically begged me to get past border control, past customs. And we had a chat. I spoke to my good friend Andrew Skegg, and we began pondering some sort of devious scheme in order to get you guys down here, because there's still plenty of religious wrongdoings down here that need to be addressed. And Andrew sits on the panel for the Atheist Foundation of Australia, and we were able to work something out with those guys who very kindly came to the party in order to make this happen.
What's the story down there? I mean, I hear conflicting reports. One is that we are a more and more secular society. We're more and more progressive. We're much more enlightened than those. I've heard us called seppos. Does that ring a bell with you guys? Is this slang for American? America, yes, the United States, is a septic tank that everything flows to out of Australia. Is that true? I feel the red carpet coming out already. I just feel so welcome. you know, they say, oh, yeah, we are more and more secular, but then I read about your politicians and some of this batshit crazy creationist stuff that's going on. What are we walking into down there, guys?
It's a strange dichotomy, I think. Australians are mostly a secular, non-religious country, but we do have a very strong vein of right-wing religious crazies, and some of them seem to be in political power. So we have things like the National Chaplaincy Program, where $500 million has been spent putting chaplains into public schools. We still don't have marriage equality. We have problems with abortion rights and euthanasia, and there's all sorts of things that religion still impacts Australian society, even though we're essentially non-religious and secular.
One important thing that I'd like to bring up for Seth is that the Australian Constitution kind of parroted the American Constitution on the separation of church and state. But the religiously minded people who interpreted that in recent years, they actually took our First Amendment and worded it less ambiguously, so that it was more expressive that that's what they had intended, was a wall of separation and so forth. So it was worded better than ours is. But the religious ideologues who seized power at one point or another interpreted that somehow to mean that it would be more favorable to religion, and they interpreted no wall of separation in there, and I don't know how they did that, especially since it was worded more effectively in the Australian version. But that is correct, isn't it, Skeg?
the short of it is the American Constitution has been interpreted by the courts to mean that the government must remain neutral on all matters of religion, so it's completely secular. That's a matter of law. But the Australian Constitution has been interpreted as you can support religions as long as you support them all equally, which means that you can actually have government programs that support religious ideals as long as they don't discriminate which religions they support. And guess what? The most popular religions get the lion's share. So when you're in a society that's 90-95% Christian, guess which religions actually get promoted by the government.
And I think it's important there, Andrew, to say that we did have Australia's first female Prime Minister, who was a big one for promoting health and education services, and who was also an atheist, a rational, clear thinker, did quite a good job of running the country. Then there was a lot of poo-pooing from the opposition at the time, who was a gentleman by the name of Tony Abbott, who's currently our Prime Minister, so took power in the last election. But Tony Abbott spent 12 years, I think, training in the seminary to be a priest or a pastor or similar, and didn't pan out so well. So he went on to be a journalist and wasn't brilliant at that, but did go on to be a successful politician. So with a backlog and a CV like that, he doesn't really say what he means and means what he says. It's all open to misinterpretation when it comes to things like, he's gone back on his word on a whole bunch of really important policies.
It sounds like they need some of these people who were bringing the satanic monuments in, you know, where they have the Ten Commandments and all of a sudden this Church of Satan shows up and says equal time. It sounds like we need to port those guys down to Australia for a while and see if we can do some equal time down there, see what happens.
It's a fair trade for Ken Ham, I think.
We're doing three cities. We've got Sydney on the 13th of March. We've got Brisbane on the 18th of March and Melbourne on the 21st of March. So that's a 1-2-3 punch in Australia. And then I'm heading back to the States, but I have discovered that they didn't want me. They want Aaron and Matt to go to New Zealand and all these other wonders. Where are you guys going before and or after the Australia run? You guys are doing what cities?
We can't tell you for fear that you might follow us. So actually, Arne and I are both arriving in Sydney on March 9th and then flying directly to Auckland, New Zealand, where we're doing an event on the 10th and then going back to Sydney to get ready for the official Down Under thing on the 13th. And then once we're done with the, is it the west coast, the right coast, the correct coast of, I don't know. Then we're going to hop on a plane, fly over to Perth and spend, I don't know, three, 4, or 5 days over there. There's an event and a few touristy type things, but there'll be one major event over there with just the two of us. And we're doing, just to kind of make this clear, I don't tend to give the same talks over and over. I tend, when somebody says, hey, will you come talk? I'll be like, yeah, what do you want me to talk about? And I'll write something new, or I'll ad-lib something new is more likely, because I don't tend to do kind of pre-prepared stuff. For the Down Under thing, I'm going to do the same talk in each of the three cities, or roughly the same. It'd be the same topic and most of the same stuff, but it might not be the same. In Auckland, I'm doing something completely different. We're meeting with a skeptic group, and I'm going to be doing some magic and mentalism and talking a little bit about the intersection between magic, skepticism, and atheism. And I think, if I remember correctly, in Perth, I might be talking about morality, but I'm not positive yet.
You've been really generous with your time in agreeing to come over and partake in all of this, because it's coming at a cost to you, in a sense. You're coming over to explore Down Under, the uncharted territory for the Unholy Trinity. And you guys, when we originally were discussing it, you said, we really want to be busy. And we've got a whole bunch of different secular groups, student groups, a couple of debates lined up that haven't really been published as yet. But you guys are going to be extremely busy when you're down here. There's not going to be a lot of sleeping.
That sounds excellent. No. I'm really looking forward to that. If you could provide any kind of a schedule for those events, I'd be happy to share them on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, help promote it all.
I think that's something that's important. There's not just the three main events. There's actually a whole number of other things that people will be able to go along to if they wish. In addition to that, I know you guys want to see Australia as well, so we have some things planned for you as well when you're down here, some extracurricular, non-official things to go and enjoy yourself and see Australia. Mm.
I'm actually making a wish list. I'm kind of like looking at the places we're going to be and saying, I think I'd kind of like to go do that if we have a free time between speaking and, I'd imagine doing laundry at some point.
Keep in mind that Australia is a very big place, so we can't just be, when you look at the map, Great Barrier Reef is actually, that's a whole day at least just to get there.
I'm just amazed at the technology, the world we live in, where not only can we, have a get-together like this and do hang out no matter what technical difficulties we may have had, but I'm still impressed that Adam and Andrew's video isn't upside down.
God.
It's the Google version. Adam, did you say you got to take off? If you have to sort of cut the conversation short, and I know you've got obligations and we ran a little late on the recording, just let me know. I want to make sure that we don't keep you from wherever you need to be here in a few minutes, all right?
I will have to bid you all adieu. Very much looking forward to having you over to invade the Herd Mentality recording dungeon. The shoe, there's going to be some questionable odors, I'd imagine, with so many people packed into such a small sardine tin, but it is going to be a lot of good fun.
All right, we'll see you then, my friend. Thanks for everything you're doing down there.
Take care.
Guys, what are you preparing for this? If I'm doing a set of tour stops in Texas, even if I'm on one of the coasts, it's usually pretty easy to take the temperature of the audience to know what to put together. This, I find myself thinking, I'm a little terrified that whatever I put together won't be relevant or won't resonate. How are you guys approaching the preparation of what you're doing on stage?
I don't think I've ever seen one of your presentations that you've ever done in the past that wouldn't also play there.
Well, they're flashy.
I would agree.
I can go out there and I can do this, But I don't want to waste anybody's time, especially after all the expense and the trouble of getting everybody down there. And I have a little bit of a case of nerves about it. I want people who've bought the tickets, who are coming out, all the organizers, I want everybody to really feel like this was a home run. And then when I think about, what to bring, what to do, I'm a little
I wouldn't really worry about it, because Matt and I have kind of agreed that we're just going to talk about some random BS and not do any real preparation. So we're just going to let you shine.
I changed my mind on that, actually, Aaron. My plan is to kind of write a rough outline of what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to hire Seth to produce video for it to make me look slick.
That is smart.
We'll just sit out there in the audience and just play canned recordings of whatever it is we wanted to say. Thanks for coming, everybody. Yeah.
I want to, when we did the first one, we kind of talked ahead of time to make sure that we all had something to talk about that was kind of in our individual wheelhouses so that there wasn't a great deal of overlap. But we wanted to do something slightly different for this one. In my case, I'm going to try to have fun while exposing that this Bible story about a God is almost a dark comedy of his failures. And, you know, maybe have a little fun with it. Who knows? You know, if there's time, we might do more or less. But I'm planning on writing it on the flight down. And
nothing like cramming at the last moment.
If I can't write a 30, 40-minute talk in a 20-hour flight, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, are you that good?
My intention is somewhat similar. I intend to have a more fun presentation than, you know, a lot of times I've gone up and given a scientific presentation, or I'll give a really dark secular, you know, alarm bell or whatever. But in this one, there's probably going to be a lot of jokes in it, and it's going to be lighthearted. So I think Matt and I are both kind of leaning that way.
I can say that we at the AFA felt very comfortable in inviting all of you to Australia for this tour, because we enjoy your content so much, and it is relevant. I mean, some of the local politics might not be, but I'm sure you won't be talking about Texan politics or what's going on in Oklahoma while you're in Australia. And it's also important to note that, you know, while some of the evening is set aside for you guys to give a presentation, there's also plenty of time for questions and answers and interaction with the audience. So people will get their chance to ask their questions and have a dialogue with each of you. And that can go almost as long as we like.
I'm glad he brought that up, Andrew. I mean, the guys, you can back me up. I mean, is it the same for you when you go up on stage and you do a formal presentation and there's the applause at the end, thank you very much, and then you go out to the seating area, to the lobby, wherever, and you have a chance to just chat with people? Many times that's the most engaging and amazing and fulfilling part of the day. Is that the case for you guys?
It's kind of
getting a free T-shirt with my face on it.
I'm sorry, Aaron, I missed it.
I said getting a free T-shirt with my face on it.
You know, there's a lot of occasions where I've gone out to events and they're not quite sure what they want me to talk about. And sometimes I'll have, you know, a rough sketch of 30, 40 minutes of something that I want to kind of drone on about and then take questions at the end of it. And the questions, you know, while I like giving the talk and I think people tend to get something out of it most of the time, it's the Q&A and the interaction where I find I have the most fun. And on some occasions, I've showed up and just had, you know, 10 or 15 minutes worth of stuff to talk about and then taken questions for, you know, 2 hours and some as many as 3 hours on a couple occasions. And that's kind of what we need. It's not so much that we need another lecture and another talk. It's the conversations, the interactions. People could watch me talk about something on my YouTube channel. Getting there and actually being able to interact and asking a question, or you know, even just taking a minute to do a magic trick or do something that people find fun and give you another look at who I am and who we are. I love that. And meeting people in different places and hearing the things. One of the most common things I hear is, I feel alone. I'm the only, you know, atheist I know. And yet when I run around all over the world now, this conversation keeps coming up and none of them are alone. And it's these types of gatherings and get-togethers that I think really benefit the community at large.
I don't know if Aaron wanted to weigh in or not.
No, I have a very similar experience. No need to comment.
I've decided for both of you, I'm going to plant somebody in the audience, and their first question will be, why do you hate God? I'm just going to, just so we can get it over with, you know. Why do you
know,
hate God?
That is something that, I don't know. I kind of think that Matt would be eager about this too, but actually confrontation is one of the things that I kind of look for at some of these events, and we haven't had it. On the Holy Trinity Tour, as you remember, we were expecting to have church members at all of the different stops that we went to, and none of that. There were, I think, three church groups that were supposed to meet us in Amarillo, Texas. That was supposed to be our most hostile audience, and I think two church people got there, not the groups that were intended to bus in, but only two guys, and they presented no kind of confrontation. I mean, the barest, simplest of all questions, and they were done.
Yeah, but I saw you at the Global Atheist Convention. There's a video of you on the front steps, Aaron.
Terrorized.
All I could see was the vein in your forehead about to, literally about to just pop an O-ring in front of a religious person out there.
They had a megaphone, and Aaron was still louder.
Blessing all and wealth and strength
who know Jesus
and blessing
must
and
hate their
he
own
is
brother.
The only way
the Bible
to God.
Also says
you
everyone
will stand before God.
Will burn
it is
out.
Appointed.
What was that about? What was that person saying that, I mean, it got you so keyed up? What happened?
It was a handful of street preachers from Adelaide who showed up right away to punk the event. And we'd already gotten into it the night before. They showed up after dark, and it was just when the speakers were just arriving. So I met Mr. Deity out front of the Civic Center, out in the dark, arguing with these people. And I just kind of jumped into the argument. And then a second later, it goes, you know, hi, Dalton, good to see you again. And then turned around and start arguing with this guy again. It was great fun, really.
Everything your creationist mentors have told you so far about evolution and the Bible were lies. I will prove this to you. And that the people who taught it to you likely knew it was not true when they told it to you.
Now, you did the same thing at the Reason Rally. You know, just don't screw with these guys, you know.
It's fun. I can't help it. I did the same thing at the American Atheist Conventions, too, and they told me not to go out there and bother with these people, but I pretended that I wasn't there at the meeting.
Well, come on, guys. Has somebody ever, in an exchange like that, ever said, you know, that's a great point. You know, I'm so glad that you brought that to my attention. I'm going to now revise my position. I'm not saying I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I mean...
You got to admit, Seth, it makes good video.
It does make compelling video, yeah.
Glory to the Son of God. I am here to preach a message of salvation to you. A message that can rescue you from the delusion that you are in now.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever admitted a wrong or changed their mind on the spot, but it does crack the shell. It does give them something to think about, hopefully.
I totally agree that... Bad information. Bad. What is it? Ingersoll said, the more false we destroy, the more room we make for the true. And they're out there on full bore, you know, bullhorning bad information. I think it does need to be countered. But I've always wanted at some point in my life to see, you know, two guys on stage going at it during a debate, you know, the rationalist and the apologist. And all of a sudden, the apologist says, you know, that's a damn good point. And yeah, they shake hands and call it a day. So.
I've had experiences close to that, not where, you know, somebody's completely flipped their position. In the fall, I'm going to be probably debating John Ferrer again. And I've said before, of all the people that I've debated, I think I like and respect John the most. John's one of the only ones that's actually changed my position on something during a debate. I had presented a case for a potential solution to the is-ought problem. And John very quickly pointed out why my solution wasn't actually a solution. And I said, well, yeah, you might be right or something like that. I'm going to have to think about that. But he was right. Now,
from the stage, you said that. You mean that admission in front of an audience?
Well, this we weren't on stage. We were doing the debate online.
Oh, I see.
On somebody's podcast. I don't remember which one. But yeah, I made that concession right there in the middle of the debate because it wasn't critical. So one of the things that keeps coming up in debates is this, you know, they don't meet their burden of proof. Instead, they just keep assailing what they think your position is or what they want to present as your position. It turns out, if I'm completely wrong, that still doesn't mean that they're right. If evolution gets overturned tomorrow, creationism doesn't become true by default. And so if you find a flaw in a position where I'm trying to actually make a case for something and it's wrong, then I haven't made my case, but neither have you. You actually have to present the argument and the evidence that makes your case, and that hasn't happened. And I know JT has had debate opponents and people from the audience who've changed their minds on things during the course of a debate with him. It's rare, though.
Yeah, and if there's a possibility that your opponent might be correct, my preference would be to make that concession right away.
Yeah.
Because it not only reflects well on me to do so, but it also takes a lot of fire out of them.
It speaks to credibility. If you're really interested in the truth, You're not defending the position for its own sake. You're like, you know, that's actually an interesting point. I need to explore that, you know.
There were two things.
I'll let you start. What happened?
I apologize. I don't know if there's a time delay or whatever.
There's a little bit of a Skype delay. It's all good. It's all good.
Okay. Well, there was two things that didn't make it on video from the GAC that I was kind of upset about. One, the one with me in it was we had the Muslim group on one side of the Civic Center who were chanting for Ayaan Hirsi Ali to burn in hell. And she was one of the speakers there. And then we had on the other side of the stadium, we had the Christian group. And so I had invited the Christian group to unite with their enemy against what they have a common enemy with the people on the other side of the building. Why don't they just go and solve both of my problems? but that didn't get on there. And the other one that did, the other one that nobody had a camera for this moment, is while they had this huge group of Muslims who were all chanting very, very loudly, you know, hate and death and burn in hell, two guys got up in front of them chanting this and French kissed in front of that protest. And nobody had a camera for this. I mean,
back to the Muslims and the Christians, you know, knowing your background, Aaron, you come from, it used to be one of those cats that would put chainmail on and go out with and reenact battles and that kind of stuff. Is that right? Yeah. I would think you just want to outfit both camps and let them duke it out in the streets. You know, that talk about compelling video. Matt, what were you going to say? I'm sorry, I missed it.
I don't have the slightest clue.
And that's why we're going all the way to Australia, people, because we just perform on demand, just like that. You know, it's funny, Andrew, everybody's always apologizing to us for Ken Ham down. You know, I'm sorry about Ken Ham. I'm sorry. It's always a kind of a punchline. And I just have this mental picture of me being on the plane from Los Angeles to Sydney, and I look to my left, and I see Cy Tinbrugh and Kate. And it equalizes everything out. All is forgiven. You know, you gave us Ken Ham, but we may be guilty of so much more. That kind of
Cy is from Canada. You don't have to take.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Ray Comfort is from New Zealand. So
we've got Joel Osteen and everybody. I mean, we've got our share certainly of greatest hits. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Isn't he from some obscure town that? And what's he do for a living? And all of a sudden, he just sort of latched on to the Hovind train. And before you know it, he's on stage with Matt in Memphis, Tennessee last year. That freaking debate video, a two-hour debate video, has 250,000 views and got most of those within the first 2 weeks. I've never seen anything quite like it. It was pretty amazing. By the way, well done on dispatching the pre-sup thing from the stage. I thought that was pretty amazing, Matt.
Oh, thanks. And I did, you know, for the Patreon project, I did four videos where I go through that debate, pointing out the mistakes that each of us made, because both of us made mistakes during the debate. The entire purpose of this is so that the people who watched it, one of the things that happened right off the bat that irked me was the one argument that Cy got right, the one thing that was a proper reductio ad absurdum that was clearly correct, setting aside whether or not the interpretations of the books are correct, was mocked by people. Oh, look how absurd Cy's being. And I was like, no, stop. I mean, if you mock him for the thing that he kind of got right, you just make us all look foolish. And so when I put together the videos, I wanted to make sure that, you know, people understood this is where things went right, this is where things went wrong. Here's a horrible tactical mistake. You know, by the way, if you're going to debate somebody, don't make your entire opening remark videos of them talking and you pretending to argue with them. And if you do that, definitely don't do it again during your rebuttal. And if you do that, definitely, definitely don't do it again during your closing, because that was the frickin' Matt show is what that was.
It was awesome. Whenever he finished his opening statement, they went to you, Matt, and said, Matt, you have 10 minutes. And he looked at the audience, and Matt said, I think, didn't I just get 10 minutes? And the whole place just busted out laughing. By the way, not to redirect this train too much there, but you actually, speaking of your Patreon channel, you actually did was it an hour, hour and a half of examinations, or how many different videos exploring that discussion?
I think it's four videos and comes in, it's a little over 2 hours total.
Yeah.
I didn't go through absolutely everything in the debate because it's one of those things where somebody can say something in 10 seconds that takes you 10 minutes to even begin to explain.
Yeah.
And so I kind of went through the highlights of mistakes he made, mistakes I made, you know, misdefining things. I hope that people get a little bit more out of it, and the feedback's been positive. I'm going to be doing this for other debates that I've done as well, you know, whether online or in person. So the four nights of, or three nights of debate with Israel Rodriguez is probably next on that front, because that was an interesting weekend that made for a lot of good conversation.
Well, bringing it back to Australia just quickly, it's Sydney on the 13th of March, Brisbane on the 18th of March, Melbourne the 21st. The website, unholytrinitydownunder.com, for tickets and all of the details. And honestly, for those who are considering coming out, you know, there will hopefully be some lively discussion. There will be some exchange. There will be a chance to hang out and, you know, hug and shake hands and take pictures and share stories and just be a family, which is, and forgive the cliche, in many ways, it's what it's like. I mean, you go to these things and it's like everybody, even those who've just met, it's like you've known them for a long, long time. You are in a safe place. You're in a good place. And I've never been a part of anything like this that was not that way, where I thought, God, what a waste of time. I'm so sorry I came. And something as special as this, I just am so excited. So I would encourage everybody who's even remotely able to get to any one of these venues. And then how do they find out about the other stuff that you guys are doing, the New Zealand? Is there some sort of...
How do I find out about it?
Well, I actually posted yesterday about the Perth event with Matt and Aaron. That was done in association with the West Australian Humanist Association. And as the details for New Zealand and everything else we'll be doing around the country are finalized, we'll be making announcements for those. And I'll put it on the website. So that'll be the one-stop shop for all the information about where and when you shall be.
Okay, so right now on the roster, what is planned for us? Because we were told that we were going to be very busy, and there haven't been any public announcements on this yet. But I understand we're going to be doing somebody's podcasts, right?
Yes, I think a number of people would like you to appear on their podcast, Adam being one of them. Okay. I'm sure Jake up here, who runs the Imaginary Friends podcast, want to have a chat.
Yes, probably friends as well.
Podcast. Are we going to be on radio?
With your face, Aaron, there would be no justice if it was only radio. You must.
I haven't actually arranged a radio station, but we are trying to get one or all of you on a TV show while you're here. If we can stitch that together, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be. I have to mirror what Seth just said. I mean, I have a face for radio.
No, that's not what I meant. You have an iconic face, chiseled from stone. It leaves an impression. I think you need to be out there. Okay. We'll update everybody as best we can as these events sort of come to fruition, all of these different activities. We will be busy. We're going to be tourists. We're going to be also at your service and at the disposal of all the good folks at the Atheist Foundation of Australia, who have done so many amazing things, done so much legwork, so much time, so many resources in putting this all together. If I may, can I get everybody just to put an exclamation point on this for me? I mean, what are your thoughts about what's going to happen in just a few weeks? What do you think? I'll start with you, Andrew.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I was fortunate enough to arrange Aaron to come down for the Global Atheist Convention in Melbourne in 2012, and we had a blast. I picked him up from the airport. We took him around. He was kept busy, and he's still talking about it to this day, as you can see. So he had a great time, and I want to do the same thing for you guys when you're down here. This is partially selfish for me because I had such a good time with Aaron. I wanted to do it again, and then I thought, well, if I'm doing that, I might as well get some others, and Seth and Matt, your names entered my head. I said, wouldn't it be good if I could get all three of them down to Australia and do some sort of tour? And then about a week later, actually, you announced the Unholy Trinity tour in America, and I thought, well, there you go. They've stolen my idea. and then some time later, Seth, you made a mention on your brilliant podcast that you would love to visit Australia, and that was that was the clincher for me. I knew this had to happen, and I got the wheels in motion.
Awesome. See, and here we are, so
I'm really excited.
I thought all this time that this trip was a result of me accidentally introducing Matt Dillahunty as the former president of the Atheist Foundation of Australia instead of Austin.
You know, his
I was unaware of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt would welcome you, by the way.
If I really like it, there's a possibility, I suppose, I could move down there, and then I'll put in for that job.
Any final thoughts on all this, Matt, before we wrap it up?
You know, I wanted to go to Australia forever. When I was in the Navy, I got to explore most, you know, Europe and Mediterranean areas. And I've got a handful of places that I've always wanted to go just for personal reasons. And Australia has been at or near the top of the list for decades. And so when this was mentioned, I did what I always do. I was like, yes, you know, I'll speak pretty much anywhere I'm asked, provided, you know, it's not going to cost me a fortune or whatever. But this seemed kind of unrealistic, the costs involved in putting on an event like this just for one person, let alone doing three people for several weeks, are enormous. And I hope that people turn out. I hope that people get something out of this. I really want to engage with people, both atheists and theists. I'm happy to do, you know, debates and discussions with people who don't agree with me. It's still not quite real. I mean, my travel is booked. I've made plans for what I'm bringing. I've made plans for what I'm going to talk about. I've started making a wish list of things that, you know, I want to go check out. Well, you know, there's a magic shop in Sydney, and they're dying around the world, and I have to, you know, sneak in there to see that. But it's just such an honor that some asshole from Texas who talks a lot is now in a position where people appreciate it enough to actually want to bring me halfway around the world to have a conversation, to maybe teach somebody something, and for me to learn things. And I'm almost tickled pink enough to dye my beard pink again.
Well, I got to give you some credit here, Matt, because when I went to Melbourne last time, several people recognized me at the GAC, but they didn't recognize me for anything I personally did. They recognized me as being a guest star on your show.
Wow.
Yeah. And how the hell did you get there and I didn't? I'm going to blame Andrew for that one.
All right. Yeah, I know you're looking forward to going back. I mean, this is a return to a place that you have sort of, you got a special place in your heart, I know.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the trip, and I didn't get to take my wife with me last time, and she will be able to share the trip this time. That's kind of a big deal for me.
Yeah. I'm taking Natalie, too. I just don't think I can be there and see something amazing and not be able to
share it.
Check this out, you know, you're getting this picture, or I would, you know, calling her up or sending her a cell phone video. I just, you know, it's amazing. And I'm honored to be able to travel with these two gentlemen. I'm kind of the designated driver of the Unholy Trinity Tour. So my job is just to get them from place to place safely, securely, so that they can do what they do. And I'm excited. So if anybody wants to know about it, unholytrinitydownunder.com, or you can go to atheistfoundation.org.au/... Go to unholytrinitydownunder.com, and all the details on venues and tickets and everything are there. And I will look forward to seeing all of you in person on the other side of the world in just a few weeks, all right?
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great. I hope everyone turns up.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.